We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind, to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed with infinite wisdom into this written word. We certainly need help. We can't do it by ourselves. So we ask you to help us by giving fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I might speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here present physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. This will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they'll become doers of what they hear, not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it, my Father, with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing of their individual life, said, amen. We're in the book of James, and we're in chapter 3, which I said in my last lesson is probably one of the most significant portions of scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament. And in our last lesson, we read from verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to repeat that whole reading. The only part I will just pick two things. Let's all read verse 2 together. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, let me have this in the New International Version first, and then possibly also in the Amplified. We all stumble in many ways. I didn't hear you. If anyone is never at fault, wow, in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. I don't think I need to go to the Amplified. But anyway, let's go there. Because sometimes the Amplified, And the Amplified says, For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man and able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. That's why I said this is one of the most significant portions of scripture. Right here in this verse, God tells us the secret of perfection. And in my last lesson, I brought out the fact that, you know, God wants us to learn how to always say the right things. He says, if you don't offend, if you don't say the wrong things, he said, here, I like it in the Amplified here. He says, he never says the wrong things. Then it means that he has a fully developed character, and he's able to control. I like that word, control, his whole body and curb his entire nature. You know, this is the key. This is the key. And the scripture cannot be broken. He tells us unequivocally. There's no room for debate here. He says, if you don't say the wrong things, you'll be able to control your body. Not only that, you control your entire nature. In other words, it's not just your body alone. It's the mind, the will, the emotions. Hello? That's why the Amplified Bible included his entire nature. You know, and I brought this out last time, and it bears repetition. You know, that every sin of commission is first of all a sin of omission. In other words, the reason why you are doing something wrong is that you did not do something that was right. If you had done something right initially, or before that deed of doing something wrong, then you would not have done what is wrong. And this is particularly true concerning the tongue. In other words, if a man keeps saying, if he says the right things consistently at the right time, then he will never say or do the wrong things. It now becomes crystal clear, the commandments in the Bible. And I'm just going to highlight two of them. You know, that's all over the Bible, you know, particularly in the Old New Testament. You know, that I now understand, is that God had this at the back of his mind when he said, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. He was telling you, he was giving you the key to perfection. If you keep saying it, and you don't stop saying, and you say it constantly at the right times, you will be generating and releasing enough of the power of God that will curb your body and your entire nature. What a secret. And sadly, you know, we don't do it. let me paraphrase that, you know, or just modify that a little bit. Sadly, we don't take it seriously. That's a better word. Amen. You know, God, if we truly believe this, you will be very diligent about saying the word of God. Joshua 1:8. Then, you know, even amplified, or rather, you know, made clearer by Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall talk of them when you get up. He's telling you the times. What we've been teaching all this time, at least once every 6 hours. And it's not once every 6 hours, at least. You know, God has had mercy on us. May God have mercy on us to do it. Amen. At least once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. You're covered. In other words, before something wrong is about to happen, more power would have been released to correct it. You don't wait for something bad to happen, you know, so you're able to curb your body. In other words, all the loss of the flesh and all this loss of the eyes, pride of life, you know, all this entire nature, you can actually control it through saying the right thing, saying the word of God at the right time. So if you're consistent, the problem with people is that they're not consistent. And then, you know, the power of God is not released at the right time and in sufficient measure. And so all these negative and bad things creep in. Now, God being a very patient and kind person, he understands that it will take you time, you know, for you to develop this habit, you know, and do it the way he wants you to do it. And that's why he said he's a fully developed character. Now, it takes time to develop, you know. But the important thing is, you know, firstly to recognize that it's so, and then start assiduously, you know, consistently working towards it, you know, so that you keep the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. You know, you understand, so many things fall into place when you understand this. Pray without ceasing. You know, watch and pray always. It's the same thing. Different way of saying the same thing. Praise the Lord. You know, and it is the will of God for us to develop this, you know, and understand, you know, develop it and have it in practice in our daily lives so that we can control. And in this next portion of scripture we're going to read in a minute, you know, James tells us how to do this thing. And I touched on it briefly in the last lesson. You know, the problem is not so much the tongue as it is the heart. Are you listening to me? Because it is out of the heart that the tongue speaks. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, the real control of the tongue comes from the control of the heart. Are you listening to me? If you don't control the heart, you can't control the tongue. And then he tells us what has been the sorry experience of all of us. Every single one of us, except probably for the Lord, except the Lord Jesus himself, you know, who was born of a virgin, so he didn't have the sin nature. All of us, because of the sin nature, every single one of us has experienced what James wrote here. You know, with one mouth, you bless God. With the same mouth, hello. Especially when he's a downfall driver that just drove in front of your car. You forget all the Christianity and for the first 5 minutes, then you repent. Has that happened to you before? You know, or you get angry and just say something you shouldn't say. Then you're like, oh my God, how could I have said that? Hello, somebody. But you know when the heart becomes more developed and the power and the life of God and the nature and the character of God comes to your heart, it will curb you. Even when you are angry, you won't sin. Like some people may be very angry this morning, but I didn't sin. Hello? I was angry, but I didn't sin. You know? Now, the point is this. You know, the heart is the issue. Then if you read that portion of scripture that we read last time, before we go into the second part of it now, you know, if you are not careful and you read it superficially and you read it with a carnal mind, you may come away with the impression that nobody can tame the tongue. Because James actually says that. Now, he didn't say the tongue cannot be tamed. He said the tongue is an unruly evil. He said no man can tame it. He didn't say it can't be tamed. But he says man by himself, by his natural human, you can't tame your tongue by discipline. You can't tame your tongue by psychology. You can't tame your tongue by going to see a shrink. Like Pastor Kule, you know, psychiatrists, and they'll tell them, you know, they'll now begin to tell you how to manage your emotions. You know, anger management, and go for special classes and all of that. It won't tame the tongue. You know why? It's an unruly evil. It is set on fire of hell. There is a spiritual force operating, watch this, from the air via the heart through the mouth. It's operating from the air via the heart through the mouth. That's why you find out with all the best intentions, everything goes, bah! How did I do that? Hello? That's why it says the tongue is an unruly evil. It sets on fire the wheel of natural events. Every bad thing that has happened in your life has come through your tongue. You know? There are some things, I mean, over the years I've learned and I'm still learning to change my vocabulary. I don't know, we all say, we don't even think about it, we all say it. I'm tickled to death. Do you want to die? Do you really want to be tickled to death? I know that's not what you mean, but that's what you said. Hello? Eh? This thing is just any mother here any pamisha. Have you heard that before? I heard it all the time when I was growing up. Mothers say it all the time. Any mother here any pamisha. Do you want them to kill you? In our language, that means you, these children, you won't kill me. And you keep saying that. You know what you're doing? You're sowing seeds of death. Over a 30-year period, they probably will kill you. Don't say it. If you don't want it to happen, don't say it. It won't happen by saying it once, but cumulatively. Cumulatively, it builds up. It's set on fire. Here it is. And the tongue, everybody say, the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it does what? It defiles. What is causing the problem in your body? Your tongue. Even the sickness is your tongue. This is my headache. This is my malaria. Kilo se mi no. Kini o nipa mi o. We say it even unconsciously. It has been so ingrained in our thought processes, you know, that we don't even think about it, we just say it. It's set on fire of hell. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. Another translation says the course of natural events. You know? See, if the devil wants to do something bad in your house or in your family or in your situation, he just wake you. You've heard this expression before. We've all heard it. You woke up on the wrong side of bed. You all woke up that morning. You were just feeling dust. Irritated and angry, you know, shout on your wife, shout on the children. You are started setting in course. That whole day, he has started putting the wrong words in your mouth, which he's going to use to determine the circumstances of that day. But you know, if you obeyed this scripture I gave you earlier on, it says, when you get up, it shall talk with you. Do you understand? Even though you are feeling like that, if you said God's word instead of how you are feeling, you will now make God determine the day and not the devil. Is it clear? It's one of the most significant scriptures in the Bible. It's very, very, it's a great truth. So be very careful what you say. But didn't, you know, like I said, and we're going to see that in a minute now. It's not so much even, you know, trying to be careful. I wonder what, you got to control the heart. Because if you don't control the heart, whether you like it or not, the wrong words will come out. Remember how it operates. From the air via the heart through the mouth. So you got a battle on two fronts. Three. Let's see, let's just two. The first thing is, when you get up in the morning, take over the air. That's what you do when you pray in tongues. You know, you put the life of God inside the heart. Then you speak it out by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can sanitize the air around you. So that guy can't come from the air and start putting all kind of rubbish through your heart. And then you also put it inside your will, your mind, your emotions. Then the right things will start coming out of your mouth. Watch this. They will start coming out of your mouth as automatically as the bad things used to come out. So even when you are feeling bad or your feelings are not in something, you just see yourself saying the right thing. Just as even when you want to say the right thing, if you haven't taken care of the air and the heart, you just find that even when you want to, even when you make up in your mind, I'm not going to say that, you just find yourself saying the wrong thing. Because it's all programmed from the air and the heart. Is it clear? Now, let's read the last portion of scripture and to wrap it all up. Verse 13. Who is a wise man? No, he's not telling you the solution. He's telling you the solution. How are we going to control this tongue? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Even that verse alone has already given us the solution. But we're going to read everything and then we'll put it all together. Now, give this to me in the New International Version and then possibly also in the Amplified. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. By deeds done what? In the what? Humility that comes from wisdom. You can actually turn that around, and it is the wisdom that comes from humility. look at the New International Version, that's how the King James said. That's why they said the meekness of wisdom. Look at the New International Version. Who is wise and understanding among you? No. The Amplified, excuse me. Ah, good. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Let him by his noble living show forth his good works by the unobtrusive humility, which is the what? Proper attribute of true wisdom. The wiser you get, the more humble you become. Or should we put it this way? The more humble you are, the wiser you will get. So people who are not humble, they're not wise. They're foolish. They think they are strong. They don't know. They don't understand what's going on. Wise men are humble. When you say a guy who's not humble, he's not wise. He's foolish. Now let's read on. He said, but if you have, verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, that would mean boast, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, I didn't hear you. What's wrong with us this morning? Descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. That's one of the things I like the King James about. You know, he just takes each of the Greek words. You know, three things there. It's earthly. Earthly means is what carnal people do. Then it is sensual. It is only based on the physical senses. And then it is devilish. It comes from the devil. Now, a lot of this, our wisdom, is not from God. Who? You've heard our Yoruba wisdom. Now, of course, some of it is good, you know, but a lot of it, you know, the other day we were talking about, you know, not wearing masks. I remember that scripture was brought, Bimbo brought it from the Message Bible, you know, and you know, the Yoruba people we have perfected that thing. The man will be cursing you in his heart and be smiling with you. The Bible says there are seven abominations in his heart. He said, when he speaketh fear, thank God for the Bible. He said, believe him not. Oh. That wisdom, he thinks he's being wise. You know, I remember when we were kids, they used to say this, it just came to me, you know, this is when I'm preaching sometimes, the Holy Spirit will remind me of colloquial things that we can relate to help you to communicate, you know. Where you hear cunning man die, cunning man bury him. That is, a cunning man dies, a cunning man buries him. You know, Urubuwayo. You know, you just want to. And he thinks he's wise. He does not know he's foolish. That wisdom does not come from God. It's a devilish wisdom. And as Christians, we must get it out of our system. There are so many devilish Christians. What a contradiction. How can we be Christ-like and devilish? But I did not say it. Scripture said it. He said, from the same fountain. Can you have bitter and pure water? It's the devil. And that's why we have to understand what to do about it and get it done so that this thing doesn't keep operating. A lot of what we call wisdom, it doesn't even come from God. I must say it's not wisdom. The Bible says this wisdom, but it's not godly wisdom. It's earthly. Earthly means it's the wisdom of the world. And you know, a lot of that is operating in the church. People bring worldly wisdom into the church. They want to operate the things of the Spirit by the same worldly wisdom that they use in their office and in their business. They will deceive people. They will, you know, they'll be telling you, we have to take up offering. You know, we have to raise money for this project. You know, call a board meeting. Say, brethren, what should we do? You start getting all kinds of wisdom. How, let's invite this man. and let's invite this one, you know, and let's do this and let's do that, you know, make this one father of the day, you know, and then tell people let's do bazaar. All that. What's the godly wisdom? Sow, water, pray, and harvest. You know, try and use underhanded methods by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All kinds of gimmicks. $7 for 7 days for 7 weeks. I've heard all kinds of formulas. You give $7 in the next 7 days and your breakthrough will come in 7 weeks. This wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and it's devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion and what? Every evil work. Now, he now contrasts. This is one of my most, this is one of my favorite portions of scripture. It's not the most favorite, but it's one of my favorite portions of scripture. And God taught it to me when I was a young Christian many, many years ago, when I got confused about how to hear God. And there was people who say, just listen to your spirit. It was so popular in those days. Anything your spirit tells you is God because your spirit is born again. They say, yes, if you have the Holy Ghost will just tell you what to do. So, you know, whatever your spirit tells you, just do it. That's, have you heard it? Have you heard it so many times? You know, my spirit led me. I just feel, you know, that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me. Not like that, too. I know your spirit is born again. But the information you get, it has come through your mind that is not born again. So by the time you distill it in your mind, many times already distorted. It's a distorted version of what the Holy Ghost said. And many times it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. That's why you have to use this filter. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You will see peace about three times in that place. You see it in verse 17, peaceable. You see it in verse 18, sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, this morning as I was preparing, I preached these things many times over the years, but today, the Holy Spirit, I just had a writing as I was receiving it. You know, I said, Lord, he said, you control the tongue by the wisdom that comes to the attitude of humility, which brings grace and life to the heart in sufficient measure, enabling you to pray effectually and fervently in the Spirit, releasing the wisdom and the power to control the tongue. This will remove envy, strife, earthly and devilish wisdom from the heart. I just wrote it as I got it. Now let me break it down. So, you know, I know it's a lot I put in there. This is how it works. The baseline, the foundation is humility. Humility will bring two things. It will bring the life of God, grace, favor, which will now give you the life of God. That life has light in it that will now give you wisdom. It is that wisdom of God. And the life will also give you power. It's converted from Zoe to Dunamis. It gives you the power to be able to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says when we pray in tongues, we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Not this devilish one. the wisdom of God in a mystery. So as you do that, the power of God from your spirit, you know, by the Holy Spirit, goes into the mind, the will, the emotion, then begins to remove all the envy, the strife, the jealousy, the carnality, the sensuality. So that when you now start hearing, what you will hear is God. It's clear. It is pristine. It's no longer colored and corrupted. Are you listening to me? There's so many people who, you're born again. I don't doubt you're born again. I'm not doubting you're born again. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that the Holy Ghost has even spoken through you. Amen? But if the mind, the will, and the emotions have not been renewed, many times, whatever God is saying from the Spirit, by the time it goes through the mind, the will, and emotions, it's corrupted. That is why we need this filter. And that's why the book of James is extremely explicit, the Holy Ghost. He said the wisdom that is from above, the first thing is purity. Now, what does that mean? It means it will never contradict the word and the character of God. The words of God are pure words. According to Psalm 12, they are pure words. You know, tried seven times. So when talking about purity there, it's talking about, that's why the more Bible you know, the better you can be led by the Spirit. The less Bible you know, I'm not just talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about revelation knowledge, knowing what the spirit of the scripture is saying, not just the letter. The more Bible you know, so when a thought comes to your mind, you pass it through that filter. Is it pure? Is this in line with the word, or is it not in line with the word? Now, if you don't have the word, how can you can't judge it? Hello, somebody. So that is critical. You must have the purity of God's word in your heart. That's where daily Bible reading, meditation, you know, prayer, all these things, listening to anointed messages like this, all that comes in. Because it is the accumulation of what you have stored inside your heart that the Holy Ghost can now use as a filter for whatever is coming through your thoughts. The less word you have, the more susceptible you are to deception and confusion. In fact, that's what happens to so many Christians. In fact, they will even quote the scripture, but they will distort it. The Bible says that, you know, there are people who they wrest the scriptures unto their own destruction. Kenneth Hagin said this many years ago. I've never forgotten, and I laugh. And I'm sure I quoted it here before. The Bible says Judas went out and hanged himself. Then the same Bible says, go down and do likewise. Put the two of them together, you get a revelation. Thank you. And Prof just had another one. And that which you do quickly. So you just get the three of them together, you know, go and hang yourself and do it quickly. All of it is Bible. Now you're laughing. Because it's obvious to you that he's not God. But is it not the scripture? And the scripture cannot be broken? Is it not Bible? It's called pure Bible. I didn't add, I didn't take away. I only said what was in the Bible. But the way I put it together was contrary to the spirit of the word. So it's until you know the spirit. If all you know was the letter of the Bible and you went along with it, you will get a wrong interpretation. Now, how many times does that happen in so many other instances that are not so obvious? Pastor, the Bible told... I didn't say you did. That's why you need a pastor. That's why you need elders. That's why you need to submit things and let people look at it in the light of the word. You may think you know the Bible, then they'll tell you that it's not like that. There are other scriptures you don't even know that we know. And it's when we now bring it and we now show it to you. So, first, pure. It has to be pure. Then the second thing, and I said it came three times, is peaceable. When the Holy Ghost tells you something, when the wisdom comes from God, it will come with a peace. When you don't have peace about something, wait and pray more. That peace is an umpire. You know what an umpire is? You play cricket, you know, it's like a referee. You understand? It shows you, it begins to indicate to you, that's what we call the witness of the Spirit. When something is really God, the peace of God will allow the thing to say. If the thing is not God, God will begin to let you know by withdrawing his peace. So it's not just even enough to know the Bible in the head. You know, even if the thing looks, it looks like God on the surface. But as I pray, I don't have peace. Wait. That's a four-letter word. And it is a four-letter word. Christians hate that word, wait. People don't want to wait. But you're not going to go far. Look at Colossians 3:16. We're going to come back to James. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. No. I think I'm in the wrong place. I think it's 2. I think I have the wrong scripture. Where it says, you know, and let the peace of God, the it's Colossians. I know it is. Where in the world did I put it? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Look at, it's Colossians. I think it's Colossians 3. Look, go up to 15. God, thank you. Excuse me. It's 15. Yes. Let the peace of God do what? Rule in your heart. Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. Thank you. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your heart. In other words, you check everything. See, first of all, is it pure? Then secondly, does it bring peace? If it fails those two tests, it's not God. No matter how many scripture you string together, like go down and hang yourself and whatever you do quickly and do the same likewise. You know, you can always find funny scriptures from funny places to put together whatever it is you want to say. But it will fail the test of purity. And it will fail the test of peace. Is this clear? Is this clear? And if truly, I'm going to say this. If truly you believe that what you're saying is really God, and you got your scripture, and you got to take it to oversight. If you're afraid to take it to oversight, there's something wrong. Because if it is truly God, they will bear witness. Even your confidence, when you come to them and you say, this is what the Bible, this is what God told me, this is the scripture I got, this is the scripture, they'll be commending you. When you're afraid to take it to oversight, it's because deep down you know, many people just want to do what they want to do. And then look for one or two scriptures, you know, to justify what they're trying to do. And they all mix it all up together, you know. Don't do that. Let's go back to James. As we begin to close. See, brethren, everybody say, we can tame the tongue. Say, I tame my tongue by the power of the Holy Spirit. By having a humble heart that gives me access to the life and the power of God in sufficient measure to control my tongue, to control the air around me, so I only say what God wants me to say. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why I took time. The Holy Ghost gave it to me, and I took time to break it down. That's why I called it that's why I started with wisdom. He said, who is a wise man among you? Who is a wise man? He said, let him show his works through the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. In other words, wisdom has meekness inside it. Now, you're not going to get wisdom if you're not meek. I was somewhere yesterday in Lagos. I was, you know, ministering to some people. It was a lovely meeting. And I was telling them, I said, this is the foundation. It is the foundation. Humility. And you know, this attitude of humility and honesty is, I just wrote in our, one of our latest weekly remarks, you have to maintain it. It's not just something that is, you get once. No wonder why the man said, keep thy heart with all diligence. So each day, at the beginning of each day, I examine and make sure I keep that honesty and humility intact. I check it again in the afternoon. I check it again at night. Because you know what? It's what gives me access to the life of God and the wisdom of God. That thing, once it stops operating, or once it goes off, I shared this on Wednesday, it's like a switch. Just to put the switch off, the power stops flowing. Until you put it back on. It is a switch. And that's why, you know, it says the light of the body is the eye. The mind, which contains, you know, your will, your will, your emotions and all that. That it's so critical. Look at Proverbs 11:2. Proverbs 11:2. This one says it very explicitly. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the what? Lowly is what? I was teaching these people yesterday, you know, about, you know, the topic of the message was the adorning the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. So I was telling them how to, you know, when a woman is wants to get married and they begin to dress the bride. Then they begin to give, you know, to do the hair. And then they do all the... Nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, now, spiritually, God is adorning the body of the bride. Now, not every Christian is in the bride. Every Christian is in the body, but not the bride. It says, a body he has prepared for me, but the bride has made herself ready. Big difference. The bride prepares herself. You don't have to start forcing her to come to church and to pray. You know, the bride prepare, and one of the ways in which she's preparing herself is to adorn. And then I asked them, I said, what's the adornment? It's in 1 Peter. He says, adorning himself with the ornament of a what? Meek and quiet. This is what is of great price in the sight of God. What's meek? Humility. That's how you'll be able to tell the character of the bride. Meekness. Jesus, of all the things he could have told, he said, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. You know why? It's the key to wisdom. It's the key to life. God gives grace to the humble, resist the proud. The more humble you are, the greater the measure of grace. The less humble, the less the measure of grace. The more grace, the more life. The more life, the more light. The more light, the more wisdom. You see the connection? You've got to, in your thinking, this thing has to become ingrained. You have to understand the spirit. This is spiritual technology. You have to understand the connection. The thing starts from humility and honesty. That's why I said the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning. That's where it starts from. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. That's the foundation of all wisdom. You know, when a man, I got to close. When a man looks to the heavens, just looks at the heavens. He's not born again. Let's just take a man who is not born again, an unregenerate man who doesn't know God yet, personally, by revelation. But he looks to the heavens. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He looks at the moon and the stars and the planets. How did these things come to be? Then he looks at his own body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Honesty and humility of heart will direct him to start seeking God. It's automatic.
it's the truth. That's what the heavens declare. That's why I said God has showed it to them. Pastor Boyega preached this on Wednesday. He said the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the thing. You don't need to just look. The only thing that can stop you from moving from that thing is dishonesty and pride. When you're dishonest and when you are proud, you know, and you're not humble, when you look at God and you see all that God has made in creation. Now, you cannot know God by creation, but you can know God. Creation can let you know that there is a God, so you can start seeking him. And then Jeremiah tells us, he says, if you seek me, and then you seek me with all your heart, see, you will find me. You will find me. So that's why honesty and humility, this meekness is the foundation. It will now bring grace. It will bring life. It will bring wisdom. It will bring power. So with life, with power, with wisdom, you can then tame your tongue. You can control the air by prayer. You can control the heart by putting the life of God inside, you know, and the power and the word of God, you know, and then you start saying the right things at the right time. You will control the tongue. So the tongue can be controlled, but it can only be controlled through the wisdom that comes through meekness. Let us pray. That's why it's so important to develop, to cultivate this virtue of meekness. Most people despise meekness. They think a meek person is a fool. That's an unwise man. That's how it comes. Jesus was a very meek person. Meek doesn't mean he's stupid. It doesn't mean he's weak. No, far from it. It means he's teachable. It means he's open to God. He's ready to learn. When you look at the heavens and look at the earth and look at all these great things God has created, there is only one reaction that thing should bring. Humility. Ah! The God who made all, whoever made all of these things. That's why that hymn writer says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. That's why it's an exclamation of a reality. When I look at the stars and so I now want to come to know. I now begin to seek with my heart. Then I now come to know him by revelation. I can't know him by the stars and the physical things. But those things show me the evidence that there is an invisible God behind all of this. Tame your tongue, brethren. Let's go into 2016. Make sure that the 2016 is going to be a year where you're going to have your tongue tamed. And then control your body. Control your circumstances by saying the right thing consistently at the right times. Then you won't say the wrong things and you won't do the wrong things. It take you time to get there, but start working on it. Start working on it. Meekness of wisdom. Meekness will bring life. It will bring power. It will bring wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it will start controlling the air. Start controlling the mind. Start controlling the will. Start controlling the emotions. Then you won't say the wrong things. Oh Lord my God, I see the stars.
I see the stars.
I hear the rolling thunder.
I hear the rolling thunder.
Thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Thy pursuit of the universe.
God. It says, is any wise among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work as meekness of wisdom. Say, if any man offend not in word, say he's a perfect man, he's able to control his body and his entire nature. We're going to pray in a minute together. But as an individual, I want you to say, God, I want to control my tongue. You've told me. You've shown me your word. If I can control my tongue, I can control my body, I can control my circumstances, all these terrible things that are happening around me. You know, I want them to stop. God, I want this body to behave properly. I want the mind to behave. I want my emotions to behave properly. I want to control them by the power of your spirit. I don't want this, you know, to be saying the wrong thing, feeling the wrong thing, everything happening, you know. I want all that to stop. You showed me that I can do it by the wisdom that comes through meekness. As I humble myself, I will receive life. Life will bring power. It will bring wisdom. And by that wisdom and power, by the Holy Spirit, I can effectually pray fervently and then control the air around me, control my heart, and then control my tongue. Oh Lord, I will take your word seriously and I will do this. So as we close this year, Lord, as we go into the new year, it will be my purpose to become a perfect man, to control my tongue and my body and my circumstances. Now, put one hand on the heart, or the other hand raised up to God. We're now going to pray together. After you've said this to God in your heart. You see, I don't want your prayer just to be just words. I want them to be from the heart. God looks at the heart. So it's, you know, you told God and you mean it in your heart. Then you can then say the words. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. And so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I repent of every attitude of arrogance, of pride, of stubbornness, of rebellion that hitherto has hindered me from getting your wisdom, your life, and your power in sufficient measure to control my tongue, my body, and my circumstances. My God, as I move forward now, I ask for a fresh release of your mercy and of your grace. A fresh release of your wisdom and your life and your power to enable me, Father, according to your word, to tame my tongue. By taming the air around me, by filling my heart with your life and with your word, so that the only thing that will come out of my mouth will be that which is in line with your word. And by constantly saying your word at the right times, I will not say, neither will I do anything that is wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. Zofrenes, ningerdes, Like Tolomas, Sophrenias, Tolomaras, Tolomus Tufrinis, Tolomangaras, Tufrinis, Sophrenias, Luprinis, Sophreniles, Tufriningaras, Sophrenisk. In Jesus' name. Put your hands out just before we sit down. As we're praying, this thing came to me. Nothing from outside can defile a man except that which is within. And as we're praying, it's like I saw it's a flash. You know, many times God will speak to us through panorama. That's what you see in the book of Revelation. And there was a red dragon and the Son of Man, and there was a sword coming out of his mouth. How many people know that sword doesn't come out of Jesus' mouth? You know, but it's a pictorial representation. I saw you wake up in the morning. It wasn't just one particular person. It was just somebody representative of all of us. You know. And you wake up in the morning and suddenly you feel low. And you feel depressed. And you feel sad. You say, I don't feel good today. God said, I should just tell you. He said, that's when you made your first mistake. Don't say it. Anytime when you get up like that, what we call on the wrong side of bed, once those feelings come, the first thing you should do is put the word of God in your mouth. Don't say how you feel. Say what God says. So when you're feeling bad, just say, Father, I thank you. You are always with me. Even though I'm not feeling so good, God, I trust you to have mercy and help me. I confess my sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. Holy Spirit, change this feeling. And then pray in tongues and blast the thing away. Because once you take that bait early in the morning, the whole day is going to be like that. Don't take it. God bless you.